Bald Seagull. Our 6:30 comedy is after this.
The money from your dad's life insurance came through.
Dad was my best friend.
You really should have friends your own age.
On BBC iPlayer.
How are you alive?
It turns out I hadn't died.
This is fraud. You can go to prison.
Your dad might not be dead physically, but emotionally, he's been gone since the 90s.
One little lie, one massive mess.
Come on, we're being blackmailed. What sort of friend blackmails her own mates?
Can you keep a secret?
We're a code red.
Get back in the house, you. You're meant to be dead.
Watch on BBC iPlayer.
This is BBC Radio 4. Now, more from the comedian Ashley Story. And tonight, she finds herself a little haunted.
Hello, nervous Radio 4 listener. Look at you sitting there, dressed like a farmer for purely aesthetic reasons, wondering, who is this woman and what on earth is she saying? I'm Ashley Story. You'll get used to my voice. And this is my story. Right, where were we? Oh, I'd come second on Celebrity Mastermind and I've just found out my mum's dying.
Sorry, Ashley, might be a bit too heavy coming straight in with this. Can you maybe do a quick recap first and tell them who you are?
Fine. I'm Ashley Story. I was a stand-up comedian, but now I'm a humorist because that's less pressure. I write TV and radio. My dead mum was a comedian, my alive dad was an autistic gangster, and now he's just a little enthusiast. I'm autistic, overweight, and while I experimented with my sexuality in my 20s, I've landed on just fancying people from books. Is that enough? Do you want to know what the district nurse said during my last smear test, Julia?
Well, that's enough, thank you. Get back to the death stuff now.
Actually, I have to go. I've got therapy.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. You're finally getting help. Is it online or is it in person?
Neither. What I've done, Julia, is I've made up a therapist in my head. It's free, and she's based off the one from The Sopranos. Do you ever do a Sopranos day?
A what?
It's a day where you wear a house coat, or a bathrobe, as the English call it, and you stand in front of your fridge and you just pick at cold meats and cheeses, and then you're mean to your family. I like to treat myself once a month with a Tony Soprano day. Just being a boss, eating nitrates, wearing a vest and a robe, very demure, very mindful. Listen, I need to go. My therapist gets really mad when I'm late. Bye! You're late, Ashley. Sorry, I was talking to Julia about Gabagool. Where were we? So your mum just died. And then you lost Mastermind. I came second. I only lost by a point. Well, that's still losing. That's very mean. Are you sure you're not my mum? Ashley, I'm a construct you've created rather than go to therapy. Me being your mum's ghost would actually be less weird. Do you believe in ghosts, Ashley? I once watched a TV show where Derek Acora was trying to contact the dead ghost of Tutankhamun. I kept thinking about the language barrier in the afterlife. Like, did the former boy king of Egypt's ghost know what Derek Acora was saying? Had Mr. Kamen ever met a guy with bleached blonde hair and a gold medallion? What did he think of Derek's loud blouses? Mr. Kamen, if you can hear me, please send a sign.
Go away.
You know how I like to have a strong opinion on things that other people don't really care about? I feel very strongly about archaeology, or more accurately, grave robbing.
We are not grave robbers, old chap. We aim to gain knowledge about past human cultures and societies through scientific analysis of our finds.
And then you put them back?
Well, we open the public's minds. We allow them to see with their own eyes the remains of kings and princes.
And then you rebury them with the respect they deserve. Do you think when the ancient Egyptians went through their big hoo-ha of death rites with the organs and the jars and the gold casket and the dead servants and the dogs and the cats and the combs and the brooches and the pyramids, they were thinking, oh, Nefertiti, this'll be absolutely brilliant for when that white guy comes and digs me up in hundreds of years. He'll get a real kick out of these jugs. No! They wanted passage into the afterlife with all their bits and pieces and pets. And I can relate to that. What if they were right? And we've just denied them a peaceful afterlife with all their things. So that what? French school kids can stare through a glass case at the British Museum when what they really want to do is go to that Harry Potter Studios where I once almost yeeted a child because I had a hangover and I wanted to open the doors to the Great Hall. Exactly. Grave robbing with a degree is still grave robbing. And that is a niche hill that I'm willing to die on.
Dear Radio 4, the ill-informed Scottish woman who called us grave robbers was...
It's imperialist. Why are their death rites less important than ours? Because we are white? How about this? When you die, I'll dig you up and put you on display in a casino in Las Vegas. Real respectful. Tell your story in that. Then, a bunch of French school kids can press their nose up against the glass surrounding your corpse and wonder at the bones of the cursed coloniser. Ashley.
What?
Where did you just go?
I was fighting with an archaeologist in my imagination. I've been doing that a lot recently.
Fighting with archaeologists?
No, imagining fights. I think it's because I deleted Twitter.
Back to what we were talking about. Do you believe
in life after love?
In ghosts.
I asked Mum not to come back if she got the option as a ghost or a bird. I don't think she listened. I've been getting a lot of subliminal bird messages.
Are you saying the birds are communicating with you?
No, Tippy Hedren. The birds aren't communicating. They're just here. Like, pigeons have been flying in my house a lot, and they leave when I ask them. And this one time, a guy at work was really horrible to me, and the next day, a seagull crapped right in his face, and it dribbled a bit in his mouth, which feels very Janie-coded. Also, she loved a seagull, did my mum. Who are your top five birds in films?
Oh, right, okay. You've got your Sharon Stone, you've got your Michelle Pfeiffer, you've got...
Not those kind of birds, problematic taxi driver in my mind. Also, your references are mad old.
That's because you're mad old.
You shut your filthy pie hole. I'm young, you can tell by my baby voice.
Okay. Top five birds in films. Number five. Scuttle the seagull from The Little Mermaid who gave Ariel dinglehoppers and other contraband from the dry land. Kind of mad, isn't it? That Ariel just gave up her fishtail and her gills for a man she saw very briefly dancing in a puffy shirt round a statue of himself playing a flute. That's a whole parade of red flags.
It's been a long time since I watched The Little Mermaid.
Oh, me too. I haven't seen it in like 20 years and I didn't even watch the live action one. Not because I'm a racist, but because the ocean literally terrifies me, unless it's an early animation a la Little Mermaid or Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Like, even Finding Nemo gives me anxiety.
Why don't you like the ocean, Ashley?
Top five reasons to hate the ocean. Five, seaweed. Nutritious? Yes. Pleasant? No. It sticks to your skin and it smells funny. Four, on that note, the sea smells bad. Maybe it's all the sewage and whale ejaculate.
Whale ejaculate?
You think they're called sperm whales for the lols? Three, large marine mammals hate humans. And I don't speak whale, so I can't tell them that I'm not a billionaire. And they don't need to kill me. Two, we don't know what's down there. Aliens, Atlantis, those weird light bulb fish. All the dead bodies. Which brings me to number one. I don't like being wet.
That's why you're single.
Go away, problematic taxi driver! Not seen The Little Mermaid in ages. It's just everything I've ever watched lives in my brain and sometimes replays like I've got my own streaming service in my head.
Are you going to continue with the birds or...?
Oh, right, okay. Five, Scuttle from The Little Mermaid. Four, Happy Feet from Happy Feet. Three, The Smug Bird from The Lion King. Two, Chanticleer from Rock-a-Doodle-Doo. And at number one, it's obviously Iago the Parrot from Aladdin, played by the late, great Gilbert Gottfried. Do you want to hear my Gilbert Gottfried impression?
Not really.
Too late. I'm Gilbert Gottfried.
Ashley.
What?
We're talking about your mother.
In the movies, when mums get cancer, they're very dignified about it.
Do you think your mum did cancer wrong?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure therapists aren't supposed to ask questions like that. It feels like leading the witness.
Again, I'm not a therapist. Also, leading the witness is courtroom chat, not therapy. You don't even know the jargon.
Objection, Your Honour.
Overruled. Why won't you go to real therapy?
I will.
You're lying.
My mum never went to therapy. She said that spending hours colouring in a feelings rainbow wasn't going to fix what had happened to her. And she'd been through much worse than me. Your mum was mental, Ashley. I was there. I was you. I met her. See, this is why I don't want to go to therapy. It feels like I'm paying someone to slag my mum off. Well, maybe that's what you need to do. What if I get transference and I fall in love with my therapist like Tony Soprano did? I don't think that... What if the therapist falls in love with me and hypnotises me into doing stuff like in the later, less good seasons of Skins? Nobody is getting a reference to the later seasons of Skins, Ashley. What if the therapist makes me reliant, gets me to sign over all of my bank accounts, and suddenly I'm in a cult wearing itchy fabrics and combing riverbanks for scrap metal with my sister wives? I don't know, I mean... You're quite weird, but I don't think you're prime cult bait. Wait, do you think that they wouldn't let me in the cult? If I was a cult leader, I wouldn't want you there. You're too questiony. What does that mean? You know, in all the documentaries about cults I've seen, the women are a lot thinner and a lot prettier than you. Oh my God, you can't say that. You're supposed to be a therapist. Yeah, except I'm not a therapist. I'm you putting on a Marks and Spencer's voice. I'd be great in a cult. I can sing and I can rap beautifully. Imagine me in a floor-length gingham dress just dropping sick beats about the great leader. I'm Ashley Story and I'm here to say our leader is perfect in every single way. He was sent by Gondor, our alien overlord, to make us wear sackcloth and preach his word.
I'm so sorry to do this, but we are going to have to ask you to leave the cult.
No, wait, I'm really good at hair braiding. Okay, top five cults. Number five, Nope, we're not doing that. It's deeply offensive to the people who've been indoctrinated and harmed. When I was a kid, my dad would take me to religious open days.
And was your dad very spiritual?
Oh, hell no. My daddy, he likes free stuff. And religions will give you free stuff to get you in the door for a bit. And then you just use your Scottish stubbornness and autism to combat their indoctrination while taking the free stuff. It was a lot of fun. A free day out for the family. To be fair, he did get sucked in a couple of times, but as soon as they asked him for money, he was out of there. We were members of Falun Gong for a year.
And what's that?
Look, before I go into this, you need to know that Dad was there for the exercises. Like, a big part of it was just doing movements. And he didn't pay attention to the whole far right.
It was a free exercise class.
I'm telling them, Dad.
And another thing, they made me cakes.
They made him cakes. But as it turned out, Falun Gong was also a very conservative, far right new religious organisation, the leader of which has stated that all scientific advancement made by humans was actually alien manipulation.
Ashley, I've been in a load of cults. They hide all that stuff at the beginning.
We were there for a year, Dad. You were going to send me to New York to join a dance troupe.
I just said that we'd send you so we could get you free dance classes.
It didn't help, by the way. I'm still a terrible dancer. Dad wants me to reiterate that he never gave these people money. He conned the system. He also wants me to let you know that the Chinese government have allegedly persecuted practitioners of Falun. So yeah, you can just put me in a normal cult like the Brownies.
I don't think we can call the Brownies a cult.
Any organisation that tries to convince you that brown and yellow is a flattering colour combination is sus as anything, mate. Do you want to talk about your mum now? Mum got very religious at the end. She had them all visiting her. Rabbis, imams, priests and vicars and bishops and all sorts of robed men popping in to touch her hands. I remember this one time, we were on a plane to Auckland and we hit bad turbulence. And Mum and this old woman started panicking. And the old lady was praying in a foreign language. Or she was just shouting, "I hate flying." I have no idea what she was saying. But Mum wanted to hedge her bets. If that plane was going down, she was doing it with more than one god at her side.
Ashley, you're praying Catholic and I'll join in and I'll pray in whatever language she's speaking.
You don't know what she's saying. Mum held that woman's hand until we got through the storm, shouting God knows what in unison with a woman she'd just met from who knows where. Then, after we got through the storm, Mum tried to mime stand-up comedy to the woman to explain her job. And let me tell you, the mime for holding a microphone is super close to the mine for putting other things in your mouth.
Ah, so she thought your mum was a competitive hot dog eater.
Sure. When mum got sick, she told me to keep working. So I did. She was worried that I'd fail once she died. Fall apart and do nothing with my life. But then she got sicker, and I got busier, and I saw this look in her eyes. Like she was just a little bit annoyed. We had this chat once. Look, autistic people aren't good with death. People don't need honesty when they're dying. Apparently.
What did you say to her, Ashley?
I thought I was being reassuring.
What did you say?
I don't want to talk about it. Have you ever seen that film, The Stepmom, where Susan Sarandon sews her kids a blanket and makes sure Julia Roberts is ready to be their new mum? My mum wasn't like that. We didn't dance around the kitchen. She stopped laughing with me the closer she got to dying. Maybe she laughed with her friends. I don't know. I was working. See, people don't realise that when you go into hospital, you're going to get woken up every 2 hours to check that you're still alive. And Mum hated that. She was convinced the nurses were just doing it to annoy her. But she was like that. She saw everything as an attack. I remember this one time, she screamed...
You always do things different, don't you, Ashley?
What?
Well, you said that you didn't want to pay someone to complain about your mum to.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, so now you're getting paid to complain about your mum.
It's what she would have wanted.
Is it?
Everything was content in my mother's world. My first period, my first sexual experience, my school bully, my dad, my autism, everything, everything was content for her stand-up comedy.
She said to him one night, Dad, can you go to the all-night supermarket and get me sanitary towels? They've got to have wings and they'll have 4 teardrops on the front for the crying. That's what she thought they were for.
Ha ha ha, Mum.
So, what were you doing while your mum was dying?
I was working, I told you. Like she asked me to.
Is that really what she wanted?
Why would she say that's what she wanted me to do if it wasn't? I'm very confused.
So you think she wanted you to be there?
She told me to keep working. That's what I did. While my mum was dying, I made a TV show called Dinosaur. Available now on BBC iPlayer, Hulu and selected aeroplanes. Making a TV show is the best thing in the world. There's hundreds of people, all of them are cogs in this machine that serves to create something. And see, for that month or that week or that year, you and a bunch of people have a common goal. It's actually kind of like a cult. So I was clearly well prepared. Well done, Dad. Okay, over there is the director. She's the leader on the ground. And stood beside her is her BFF, the director of photography. Now he works out how to set up the cameras to make her vision come to life. And then behind them is the first AD. And over there, huddled in that back room, that's the art department and props. Ooh, those guys with the wires and the poles, that's the sparks. They're not artsy-fartsy people, they're just electricians who happen to work on a film set. The sound department say, pause for a plane, every time a plane flies overhead. Then there's wardrobe and makeup. Then there's the transport and the runners and the second ADs and the third ADs and the billing and the production and a whole host of other departments I'm forgetting.
Quiet on set.
And given that I'm in every scene, if I can't do my job, those people don't get to do their job. They don't get paid. And we can't just put it all on hold because my mum's dying.
But if you could, if there was a magic wand and you could wish yourself the time to sit with her.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
She wasn't very nice to me in the end. She was angry and... I didn't want to sit and watch my mum die.
So, you were being selfish.
She told me to keep working. When you're the lead in a TV show...
Oh, look at you. I'm the lead in a TV show nobody's seen.
It's big in Spain.
Sure.
When you're the lead in a TV show, nothing you do is a secret. I didn't know how to cry on demand. So when we were filming the first series, I phoned my mum right before I had this big scene. It was the first day of shooting and I'd never really acted in anything and I needed something to cry about. So I said, Mum, be mean to me.
That sounds unhealthy.
A runner, some 20-year-old, stood beside me while my mum berated me on the phone.
"You're a disappointment. You should have visited your granda before he died. I'm glad I've got cancer so I don't have to spend any more time with you."
They ended up having meetings about my method.
She did what?
She got her dying mum to berate her on the phone so that she could emote.
Right, and are we all okay with that?
Well, we got the shot.
We couldn't just rub menthol under her eyes?
Yeah, mate, I've been huffing Albus oil since I was 10. Menthol doesn't work on me. Back to mum. It's what she would have wanted. When she found out she was dying, she fell in love with my dad again. Isn't that nice? No! A huge part of my mother and I's relationship was built on her silently hating my dad and venting about him to me. Like, that was a good 60% of our bond. I played both sides of the war, so 40% of my relationship with my dad was built on slagging my mum. But now she's dead and he only remembers the good things, and while she was dying, she thought he was Prince Charming, so I was alone and they both thought I was mean. I kind of felt like an XL bully. You know those dogs? I was just doing exactly what I was bred for, but I was getting in trouble for it. In fact, all of my life skills she taught me became taboo. Don't make jokes. Don't ask questions. Don't make her feel bad for dying by showing overt emotions. Don't write a book about me, Ashley. This was the last argument we had.
What do you mean?
Don't do a hatchet job on me and your daddy. So don't tell the truth then. Aye, Ashley, I'm serious. Look at me.
You wrote a book about your family.
Well, that was different. I had a horrible childhood. I was abused. You went to Disney World, Ashley. Fine. And I've stood by my word. This is not a book. Loophole. It was actually statistically interesting that my parents got closer once we found out my mum was dying. Studies indicate that men are significantly more likely to separate or divorce their wives after a cancer diagnosis than the other way around, with a rate of 20.8% when the woman is diagnosed compared to 2.9% when the man is diagnosed. Hashtag not all men, but also hashtag 20% of them. My dad always likes to be different. This difficult man who freaked out if the wrong face was pulled suddenly became wonder husband, ferrying her about, supporting her, going to every hospital appointment. Okay, just like the attention, but he was there. See, during my chemo, he kept trying to show the nurses sore finger because he'd been using his iPad too vigorously. I mean, she still complained about him, but they fell in love again. It was nice. You don't sound like you think it was nice. It's been very confusing. Everything flipped when the finish line came into view. The fun funeral Mum and I had talked about was thrown out of the window.
Yeah, we looked at getting that word in flowers for your coffin, but the C and the U too close together just looks like you're a nice aunt.
And I am a good aunt, so I'm going to get cancelled.
Written in flowers. Brilliant. On your coffin, and there's going to be a selfie booth.
A selfie booth with the cancelled flowers? Oh, perfect, Ashley.
I mean, in fact, I'm going to insist that everybody takes a selfie with your coffin.
I think that's absolutely the way it should be. Is there going to be discount vouchers for the local cafes?
Yes, there will. If you'd like to buy advertising in Jenny's funeral brochure, please get in touch with me directly.
And me and Mum's classic deal with the darkness by cracking a gag dynamic was gone. She was too scared and angry to be funny.
Aren't you scared and angry the new hen?
Why?
I was just wondering why this show is no longer funny.
You're why I get Ubers now. You'll find a fella a lot less inclined to ram his politics and opinions down your throat when a star rating is on the table. God, I wish everyone was subject to a star rating.
Like in the dystopian sci-fi TV series Black Mirror.
You know, I watch Black Mirror and I think, what a good idea.
No, I don't know. That's not what that show is for.
Like in the episode where John Hamm gets to block everyone. Oh, I'd love that. Nobody can see me. Nobody can hear me. I don't need to worry about my face or my tone or my words. Just pure unmasked Ashley, not upsetting anyone.
Okay, let's put that aside for the moment.
No, but see in that episode, he gets to block the world. And when people look at him, they just see this fuzzy blob. That would be great. I'd be walking about in my shorts with my hairy legs and nobody could say a word about it.
Do you think a lot about your body image?
I do and I don't.
I've been fat. We don't say fat anymore.
Well, I do.
I've been fat nearly my whole life. We're not really fat fat. Not like shocking reality TV show fat. But I grew up in the noughties when being skinny was being raked thin and anything over a size 12 was fat. I look at pictures of myself when I was 18, when the boys at my school would chase me in a customised Mini Cooper, oinking at me like I was a pig. And I wasn't that big. I was fine. I'd kill to be that size again. I get jealous of the young women nowadays, wearing crop tops with a muffin top, with none of the shame that I grew up with. Remember when they told us in adverts in between cartoons to skip lunch and just eat a bowl of cereal, and by summer we'd be able to wear a red swimming costume? Sure, young people now have their own shame totems, but they also have pride. They also have representation and chubby lassies showing their stretch marks and having sex with lights on. That's mad. Things have changed, but not that much. It's still confusing. Instead of a rye cracker and a bowl of cereal, we need to eat 45 grams of protein a day. And it can't be from red meat, because that's bad for your colon, unless you're one of the people who say it's good for you. And while tofu is good for you, mass production of soybeans is linked to environmental problems like deforestation and biodiversity and...
So what do you eat?
Fillet of fishes from McDonald's.
What?
If everything is bad, why try to be good? And see that? That's the problem with the world. On one side are a bunch of folk telling you, here's a thousand new rules that all contradict themselves and you will fail and someone will pick on you for it. And on the other side, they're like, do what you want, just don't be too Muslim or feminist or trans or anything othery. And also, we will pick and choose the rules to abide by depending on who we like. And then in the middle is a bunch of people who don't want to follow rules but also don't want to be bigots. And I still don't know where I'm supposed to get my protein from. I'm lactose intolerant. Eggs give me bubble gut. And I'm not allowed to call myself fat anymore because a woman on Twitter said it's offensive to fat people who are me. And I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to be good and nice, but it is so bloody hard and I always end up saying the wrong thing anyway.
Ashley, what did you say to your mum?
What?
You said earlier that there was something you said to your mum that you thought would be comforting, but you are worried about it now.
She kept saying, after she died, that I wouldn't cope and that I would fall apart, and that was her biggest fear.
And what did you say?
I told her the truth.
What was it?
Objection!
No, don't be cute. Tell them what you said to her.
I said to her that there was a part of me that would be relieved, that for the first time in my life, I'd get to be my own person. That I'd get to find out who I was without having to write her blurbs and answer her fan mail and do her taxes and help with her fringe shows and be a sidekick. That a part of me was just excited to be an autonomous human being for the first time in my life.
Oofed.
You're not supposed to say oofed.
I should have ended this on a joke.
Tune in next week where we talk about my new voice note friend and the Australian comedian who thinks Mum's haunting him. Weirdly, her ghost wants me to read his script.
What's the Story? Ashley Story was written and performed by Ashley Story and was produced by Julia Sutherland at Dabster Productions.
It's 50 years since punk emerged in the UK.
It was violent, it was charged.
Utter chaos.
Sweat was dripping off the ceiling.
So how has punk shaped the lives of the people who fell in love with it as teenagers?
I don't think many punk rockers went on to become investment bankers. But am I a sellout?
I'm punk obsessive Chris Packham, and I'll be hearing from the original Rebels to celebrate a half a century of punk.
I'm still punk. I can't be anything else.
A People's History of Punk starts next Tuesday afternoon at 4 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.